to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Getting more and more, drawing more and more close to Thanksgiving. Halloween's already coming on. We're getting closer to Thanksgiving, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Welcome to the show.
Winter solstice.
Winter solstice, yes. Welcome to the show, everybody. James Edwards. I was just looking at the calendar and lost my mind there. How did it already turn to November 13th? But yet here we are. Saturday, November 13th, 2010. And I'm James Edwards. He is Keith Alexander, and we're coming to you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio after having a little weekend road trip last Saturday. I hope everyone enjoyed that show. If you enjoyed it half as much as Bill Rowland and I did, then you had a very, very good time indeed. We were broadcasting from Nashville, Tennessee at a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting. If you missed the show last week, ladies and gentlemen, go to our broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Do yourself a favor and pull it up. I mean, you could just feel the good vibes and the positive atmosphere there. It was a great celebratory and effusive crowd, and we were very, very pleased to have been there and pleased to be back home with you tonight as well. And it's great to have Keith back, as always. Also want to make mention of, right at the very top of the show this evening, I had the opportunity to be a guest on This Week in Disorganized America last night, a show presented by the Voices of Reason radio network. I was on for an hour talking about my book, talking about this radio show, and a host of other issues. And I certainly want to give a tip of the hat to Mark and Mishko for allowing me to be their guest last night. Great time indeed, and they're doing very good work. Now, we've got a lot of work to get to tonight. Keith, where do we want to get started this evening? I mean, there's so much going on, and in fact, more cropping up even within an hour or two before showtime tonight. A very big quote-unquote controversy surrounding a local member of the State House of Representatives here in Tennessee, right out of Memphis. So we're going to get to that later in the hour, but first, we got to talk about a blog posting. I think this is number one on the agenda tonight for this first hour. Give me liberty or give me death. What am I talking about there, Keith? And I'm not quoting Patrick Henry.
What you're quoting is Liberty College. Jerry Falwell's little fundamentalist university that was brought on with so much fanfare. This was going to be the great conservative alternative to the liberal rot that everybody saw in higher academia in America, and Jerry and his crew were going to save us and provide conservatives with an authentic conservative voice and alternative, James. But as usual, like they said in Porgy and Bess, George Gershwin's musical, it ain't necessarily so, right?
Well, not at all. And we've gotten a litany of comments. And I'll tell you what, the most fun to be had with this radio program is going to the website and joining in on the discussion underneath these blog postings. Absolutely incredible people commenting on these articles that we post to the website in between our weekly broadcasts. Yeah, as Keith mentioned, you're very much as much a part of this program as we are, and we enjoy reading the comments as much as you do posting them. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a fan of this show, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and join the discussion there at the end, at the tail of each blog entry. But a lot of comments were solicited by this article. I entitled it Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death because if Patrick Henry were alive today and he could see this new promotional video for Jerry Falwell's Liberty University, he'd probably say, actually, if this is liberty, I would prefer death. It's unbelievable. And if for no other reason, ladies and gentlemen, you need to watch this video at thepoliticalcesspool.org just to see how many times the black rapper touches his crotch in the first 30 seconds. It's a 2-3-4 minute long video, Keith, a promotional video that was sanctioned by the university. The university paid to produce this. It's an official promotional video to encourage students to come and study at Liberty. And rather than focusing on the Christian foundations of that college, the Christian background, rather than focusing on conservative values or the fact that you're in Virginia, a great Southern Confederate state, they thought that the best way to entice students to come to Liberty University was to get a black rapper singing about the school. And Keith, I'll let you've seen the video. I'll let you take it from there.
You know, it's the typical Madison Avenue approach, you know, does sell the sizzle rather than the steak. It's like David Cameron and the Tory Party saying we got to get rid of all the old white dinosaurs in the Tory Party. Of course, Michael Steele, the black head of the Republican Party, is another example of the same impulse. The fact that the Tea Parties, at least here locally around Memphis, go out of their way to recruit black candidates and black spokesmen, you know, all of that stuff basically shows that conservatives have totally run up the white flag. They say, we realize that our ideas have no validity unless we are attractive to minorities, to blacks, to Hispanics, to gays, and things like this. And as a result, you see this incredible pandering in the official promotional video trying to get kids to come to Liberty University. And quite frankly, after seeing that, I don't know why anybody would spend money to go to Liberty University. It looks like Liberty University is about like Southwest Tennessee Coco Community College or something like that, you know, where all of the blacks that can't get into a regular college flock to, and apparently that's supposed to be so attractive to young white people that they're going to flock there and spend their good money so they can go along with a bunch of freeloading blacks to this, you know, third-tier college.
You know, rapping black gangsters. And if you watch it, it would look like something. It looks like something you would see on MTV. It's that bad. The aesthetic of it all, it looks like some of the trash you would find on major cable channels these days. And this is coming from the largest Christian university on the planet. This is what they have devolved into.
Basically what they want you to do, they're telling young white conservatives that you need to surrender to black culture and the black lifestyle. And this guy, this young kid who's portrayed, this young white kid, really achieves fulfillment in life when he starts wearing his hat sideways, letting his pants droop down below his buttocks, and is embracing a black chick next to him at some type of pep rally or something, with a black male on one side and a black chick on the other side. You know, this is the future of America, according to Jerry Falwell's university. You know, I don't think that Malcolm X University could have come up with anything to top this one.
Yeah, like I said, this is coming from a fundamentalist Christian school. Absolutely disgusting. The only thing more disgusting that I could find to put to the website this week was some footage from the Notting Hill Carnival. The Notting Hill Carnival in London near... Yeah, well, obviously the Notting Hill neighborhood. We really can't get into a discussion on that. I had to put a disclaimer warning up on that video, but you got to check it out. If you thought that the Liberty University promo video was disgusting, just wait until you feast your eyes upon what you will see while walking through the Notting Hill Carnival in the United Kingdom, which is one of the oldest public fairs in the UK. So we got to take a break right there, but just to whet your appetite as we get the ball rolling tonight, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, take a look at some of these most recent blog entries, and watch the videos if you can bear it. We'll be right back
after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Just understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the political cesspool brought to you by the Liberty News Radio Network. Of course, we're broadcasting from AM 1380 WLRM Radio tonight, our flagship studios. And I tell you what, Keith, they gotta get the maid in this place. I'm not very happy with the studio tonight. Cleaning lady must have been late today.
Well, it beats the old studio with the snakes and the wasps, but let me tell you, we were watching and talking about that Liberty University video, and quite frankly,
if these are the Christians, who are the cultural Marxists?
Yeah, who are the cultural Marxists nowadays? You know, if these are fundamentalist Christians, I mean, this is like the invasion of the body snatchers. These are the pod people. They've gone into the bodies of white fundamentalist Christians and filled them with the souls of black rappers of, you know, from urban high schools. This is the idea that This is the new standard for culture and behavior in America. It just shows you how completely bogus and ineffective a group like the religious right was. And, of course, Jerry Falwell was one of the primary leaders of the religious right. Let's forget about the religious right. Let's get the paleoconservative right in charge, people who, like the political cesspool, say no surrender, no retreat, and
no apologies.
That's where we are. Obviously, Liberty University is apologizing, retreating, and surrendering at every opportunity now.
Well, again, folks, if I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but this is a video you got to see with your own eyes. There's just some things you got to see, you know. What does Marvin Gaye say? Heard it through the grapevine. Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, but you can believe this one. And you should go and check it out.
It's like a Saturday Night Live parody of a fundamentalist college.
It is. You would think it's a joke, honestly, if it didn't come from their official website. But nevertheless, Keith, as you know, last week during the big live broadcast from Nashville, we carried on about an hour or so about the effects of the Tea Party movement on the November 2nd sweep for the GOP and all their big electoral gains. Actually, even though we did cover it pretty extensively last week, Reverend Ted Pike wrote an incredible article about this, and he will be joining us during the third hour to offer his take on the matter. But since Keith didn't make the trip to Nashville, he missed out on the show last week and wasn't in studio for his customary first hour. And so we certainly want to give Keith ample time to provide us with his thoughts on what happened on November 2nd. Does the Tea Party call it quits now that they've elected a bunch of Republicans? And will we see any substantial change into the right direction, figuratively speaking?
Well, as usual, as we say here in the South, when all is said and done, more will be said than done. We've seen this scenario time and again. We've always seen the left make a great advance, get laws passed, get court decisions that change the social fabric of America, like the Brown versus Board of Education decision, like the Civil Rights Bill of 1964, and do any of these things ever get rolled back by conservatives? No, there's a conservative backlash. They will elect, for example, via the Southern strategy, Richard Nixon as president and kick the Democratic bums out. But then you get Richard Nixon in there, and at the very best, he's liberalism light. Quite frankly, this is an old, old story, the 1994 election, where the Republicans won and basically sold out conservative America. This is what has happened basically since 1824 in America. I want you to think about this carefully, and I know we have an educated listenership here at the Political Cesspool. Think of any, if you can, ground that conservatives have retaken after liberals have taken it for the first time since 1824. You know, we've had things, even an armed conflict, the Civil War, to try to stop the relentless forward march of liberalism. But when all is said and done, more will be said than done. We never recapture ground. Now, the left recaptures ground. The one conservative initiative that did work, and we got an actual constitutional amendment out of it, was prohibition, but then prohibition was repealed about a decade later after it was passed. And you see, this is what happens. We win an election, and then we sit back patting ourselves on the back. I'm really dubious and really scared of the Tea Party movement, James, because we see in it all of these signs of inherent weakness, that they have basically drunk the Kool-Aid of liberalism and they've ingested so much of it into their system that they're like the pod people. They're liberals and think they're conservatives. For example, here in Memphis, the local Tea Party was busy finding black candidates to run for office as Republicans. None of these people won. They had Les Phillips, a black guy, run for the House of Representatives in Alabama. He got a lot of money. There was a lot of, hoopla about his campaign. He loses. In Mississippi, they recruit as a Republican in the primary an attractive black woman named Angela McGowan, who had been a Fox News anchor or reporter for some time. she came in and again, predictably, fell flat on her face. You know, the public is wiser than the elite once again. And then in Memphis, they got this black woman, Charlotte Bergman, who just basically embarrassed herself every time that she got on the TV or on the news. For example, she was being interviewed a little bit before the election, and she said that she was opposing Obama's agenda. And she said that Steve Cohen and all, who was her Democratic opponent, and all of these Democrats voted for Obamacare without reading the bill. So, like any good interviewer, the interviewer said, well, you're criticizing it. Have you read the bill? And she said, no, it sounded like Beavis and Butthead. You know, see, this is what happens. We keep that the Tea Party has ingested so much liberalism that they feel they have to have blacks and other minorities on board to announce these principles that they supposedly stand for, low taxes and limited government, in order for those ideas to have any validity. My idea was that the Tea Party was a party of ideas, not of people. And, you know, if blacks, there's a reason why the NAACP came out so stridently opposed to the Tea Party. Meanwhile, the Tea Party people are up here saying they have nothing but benevolence in their hearts for black people and other minorities. Well, look, I've got news for the Tea Party, and the NAACP has it right. If you're for low taxes and for limited government, you are the enemy of the black establishment in America and of the liberal establishment in America, because everything blacks have achieved over the past 60 years has been accomplished with high taxes and big government, not low taxes and limited government. It's like you've discovered the Philosopher's Stone. You've discovered the Achilles heel of their agenda. So consequently, trying to get black people to buy into that is arrant foolishness, and we're going to have to really hold the feet to the fire of the people that got elected, particularly these so-called Tea Party people. They need to show us the money, like Jerry Toby Maguire said. We want to see the change. We want to see Obamacare reversed. We want to see busing reversed. We want to see all sorts of things reversed. When we start seeing, it's like, you know, we've got a buggy where we've got forward gears, overdrive for the Democrats, second gear for the Republicans, but nobody can find reverse on this buggy. We've got to bring it back. Their mantra is change America. Our mantra needs to be change America back, James.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking much more about that during the third hour tonight with Reverend Ted Pike just a little bit later on in the evening. But coming up next, in the very next segment, we're going to be talking to you about Curry Todd, a lawmaker with enough courage to tell the truth and not apologize for doing so. This is the biggest news story in Memphis, but it has nationwide implications, perhaps. Will a trend be set? Tell the truth and not apologize. Curry Todd, is he leading the way? We're going to talk about it. What are we talking about? Find out when we come back.
Cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, November 13th. We are red hot and rolling here, live, unrehearsed, and uncensored. James Edwards and Keith Alexander the Great. And we've talked about the despicable rapping promotional video of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell's Fundamentalist Christian School. Hate to see. Yeah, that's actually one of the comments. Even though he was a race mixer extraordinaire, even he would have turned in his grave over something like this. But we talked about that. Keith gave us a little bit of a wrap-up, his take on the elections from a couple of weeks ago. More about that coming in the third hour. But right now I want to talk to you about Curry Todd. You've probably never heard of Curry Todd. That's because he is simply a state legislator from the Memphis suburb of Collierville who is currently serving in the Tennessee House of Representatives. Not a big shot, but around here he's, you know, like I said, he's just elected state representative. a few days ago. He dug down deep and was brutally honest about a few things. But what makes this story so wonderfully refreshing from so many others is the fact that Representative Todd defiantly refused to apologize even after being harassed by the usual suspects. And here is the story, and I'm reading it verbatim now. A Tennessee lawmaker is in hot water after making some racial remarks in session on Tuesday. He didn't say this secretly or off the record. He said it from the floor, from the chambers. Representative Curry Todd, who represents Collierville, which is a suburb of Memphis, compared pregnant illegal immigrants to multiplying rats. He said they are ushered into the U.S. healthcare system without being checked for citizenship. He's angry, and so is the Hispanic community. God forbid. I mean, let's first call them what they are. They're not Hispanic. They're Mexicans, and they're illegal aliens. But what he said was this. People were asking, what can we do about the illegal alien problem? And he said, we need to go out there like rats and multiply like they do, I guess. When asked to further elaborate, he said, I probably should have used the word anchor babies, which is what they're called in Arizona and Texas. He said that I don't want to see any child not have health care, but I feel that they are abusing our system because they know they can get these kids services from the taxpayers in Tennessee, and we are the ones having to pay for this. It's not them. Francisco Correa, editor of La Prensa Latina here in Memphis, said his beliefs are up for debate in a more respectful way, of course. Another reporter talked to Representative Todd and asked, are you willing to apologize to anyone who you have offended? Representative Todd said bluntly, no, I'm not apologizing to anyone who may have been offended. But Cindy Mendelson, the Jewish publisher of the bilingual newspaper in Memphis, said an apology isn't enough. This person needs to be removed from office, and then there will be no apology needed. So before I turn it over to Keith for some analysis and commentary, let me say this. God bless Curry Todd for having the courage to say what every voter in his district already knows to be true. Now, granted, the NAACP and the illegal alien community and some Jewish malcontents have all started browbeating Curry Todd through the media, but they're just a paper tiger. What's going to happen? If he refuses to apologize, if he continues to refuse to apologize, he will be reelected in a landslide. He's been in office for 20 years, for God's sake. And fans of the political cesspool are encouraged to send a message of support to Representative Todd. And we have his email address posted at our website right now. Check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But the bottom line here, Keith, is this. Curry Todd, state representative from Memphis, represents us in the Tennessee House of Tennessee State Legislature, is upset that we have so many illegal aliens coming into Tennessee and bumming off the system.
And he's upset because he's responsible for trying to budget our tax dollars efficiently so that we can accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished by government. And, of course, they've got this black hole of where money is disappearing because the federal government has mandated that local hospitals care for these people, these anchor babies. And, of course, Mexico is not sending any money. The people that come in to deliver to have these babies delivered have no insurance nor any money to pay for it. So it falls under the responsibility of the general taxpayers under a federal law called EMTALA. That stands for Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. In other words, you're in there in active labor about to have a baby. They've got to let you in. They've got to provide you with whatever care that you need, not just bare bones care. If you need expensive care, they better provide it or else they're going to be zapped not only for malpractice, but also for, violating this EMTALA law. He's having to provide funds that the state of Tennessee doesn't have. Tennessee is one of the few states that doesn't have an income tax. And we're proud of that. Of course, the liberal left, blue state America, thinks that it's a matter of great shame and that we basically need to repent of our sins. But Curry Todd is a conservative. He doesn't think that we need to apologize for it. He wants to keep taxes low, just like the Tea Party people profess they want to do it. So where are the Tea Party people trying to support Curry Todd?
Excellent point, Keith. Where are the Tea Party people in Memphis? I've seen them together 5,000 strong at a local park here not a few months ago. They need to be rallying to the defense of Curry Todd because he is saying everything that they believe. And where are they? And I'll tell you, go check. You got to check out this blog posting. We just put it up about an hour before the show. Curry Todd, a lawmaker with enough courage to tell the truth. It's at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And at the bottom of it, I just updated it to show a video that the gracious, intolerant illegal aliens have posted to YouTube that documents their feelings about Curry Todd. And your assignment while watching the video, ladies and gentlemen, is to count how many guns that they picture while not too subtly referencing what they would like to see happen to this representative.
And also, while you're cataloging things, catalog all the improper English usage, improper pronunciation, improper syntax, gender agreement, all these other things that they have. It's just hilarious. Why in the world are we intimidated by these people? And the bigger question is, why is the Tea Party intimidated? They'd have to have, the only way that they could find anything good to say about Curry Todd, who's called Todd Curry, in this bogus Hispanic video on YouTube, is if they could find some black or Hispanic person to validate him. If they couldn't, well, white people, all their ideas are, a priori bogus, because we're white people. We shouldn't have opinions, according to the Tea Party. Well, let's see somebody. Just think about this, though, James, in comparison to the other earlier blog entry you had on Tim Wise, the Jewish, what do they call him, white studies expert, who just went ballistic over the Tuesday election and the
basically for the death. He was hastening the day for the death of all white conservatives, acting as though that would be the day where the world finally receives justice, when everyone that voted Republican dies.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And he's being heralded as a great commentator.
Or at the very least, you could say the silence is deafening. You don't see any editorials in the local newspaper like we have here in Memphis that said today, "Apologize, Mr. Todd." I don't see any "Apologize, Mr. Wise" editorials going out. It's time that we basically just told these people to shove it where the sun don't shine. We are entitled to our opinions. Our opinions have validity, and we're no longer intimidated. It's basically another way of saying, as James says, racism, smacism to them.
Curry Todd stood up for his constituents. He said, listen, you know, first of all, these people don't even have rights. They're not American citizens. They're breaking the laws.
They should have been kept out in the first place.
They're breaking the laws of our country. They're disrespecting us. They're making a mockery of our graciousness. And so he said, you know, listen, you know, they're out here multiplying like rats, which is the truth. I mean, you know, perhaps that's a little bit strong, but it's not a lie. And, you know, he's standing up for the people who elected him. And I'll tell you this, you know, again, where are the Tea Parties? Where are the Tea Parties in their defense of a man who is standing up for that which they believe? Well, they're nowhere to be found. But the same can't be said for the NAACP here in Memphis and a host of illegal aliens. Now, how do I know they're illegal aliens? Well, when a bunch of people show up at your front doorstep, as they did to Curry Todd's house. Now, keep in mind, this is a low-level elected official. He's not the governor. He's just a state representative. He makes about $20,000 a year, okay? And they showed up at his home where his wife and kids live, wearing shirts that said undocumented and unafraid, and they were protesting and they were hooping and hollering and doing all this stuff. And we're going to have a follow-up posting about this. But, you know, where's the Tea Party? Where are white people? My God, people, come on. This guy is one of the few elected representatives in the country that has actually done something worth mentioning on this radio program.
And has the balls to stand up for the truth. Now, you know, maybe they're not reproducing like rats, but it is a documented, uncontrovertible fact that Hispanics have the highest birth rate of any ethnic minority or any group of people, any recognized demographic category in the United States. So he's right on, he's hit the nail on the head. So, you know, in Sidney Mendelssohn, the Jewish guy, let me tell you about this. These people would never get into the state of Israel. They have a fence that would put the Great Wall of China to shame to keep illegals out. But, of course, they're the big advocates for having no border control on our borders.
We'll be back right after this, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting hot here in the Cesspool Studios. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-7777. 6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Folks, if you hear the clickety-clack of a keyboard, that is yours truly sitting here at my desk at WLRM Studios, hammering out an email to Representative Curry Todd. And again, I want to remind you that his email address can be found on our website this evening, thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's it, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Curry Todd, a lawmaker with the courage to tell the truth. Go read that blog entry and send him your support. I think that's the very least we can do. I was sitting there doing exactly that during the commercial break. I'm not quite done with it. So while I finish sending him my thanks and appreciation, I'm going to turn the reins over to Keith for a moment until I can push the send button here.
Let me tell you about Curry Todd. He used to be a basketball player for the University of Memphis back in the 60s, in the bad old days of segregation, when a white player under 7 feet tall could actually expect to have a starting position on a Division I basketball team. He's been a stalwart citizen of the community ever since then. Like a lot of people, he's moved out of his old neighborhood around the Treadwell High School, which is now a hellhole, and moved out to Collierville, which is a suburb of Memphis, where he represents a lot of the same people that he grew up with. And he's a stalwart. He sticks to his guns. He's a type of person that is not going to be beguiled into trying to remake himself into a liberal. He needs our support. So let's remember that. And if you can find the time and the inclination, send him a supportive email. I'm sure he needs to hear that after the NAACP, La Raza, La Prensa Latina, and the ADL, among others, are all doing their best to undermine him in every way that they possibly can. Now, our last segment for the first hour has to do with the Bushes, specifically Laura Bush and her consort, George W. Bush. George W. Bush and Laura have both released books. I know everybody here in the cesspool audience is waiting with bated breath to lay their hands on a copy of this great book. I'm sure it will have all sorts of insights and intelligence in there that will, you know, leave you gasping for air. But George Bush was being, let me see, here's what happened. He's been, George Bush and Laura have been on every big television and radio talk show that you can imagine in the past week, hyping their books. Well, Laura Ingraham, who's kind of a second string mainstream conservative spokesperson, had the inimitable, the great Pat Buchanan on interviewing him about the Bushes and about Bush's foreign policy. And when Pat Buchanan tried to speak truth to power about it, about how disastrous his foreign policy was under the influence of neocons like Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Douglas Feith, she said, well, we don't really want to get into that. You know, George Bush is my friend. And that just brought a flood of insights to me thinking about that, James. Just think about this. The trouble with mainstream people is that they're too cozy with these people in power. They're never going to speak truth to power. You know, if you have a friend that has some oddball ideas, that's fine if he sells insurance or real estate or maybe dispenses pharmaceuticals at the neighborhood drugstore. But if he's the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, a person that has bad ideas and is under the influence of bad people, and the neocons, make no mistake about it, these technocrats that seem to float seamlessly from Democrat to Republican administrations back and forth, they are bad people. It's everybody's responsibility to call him out and to criticize him in no uncertain terms. You know, I'm tired of white Gentile boys catching bullets in the Middle East, fighting wars for the primary benefit of Israel. What benefit has the United States gotten out of the war with Iraq or the war with Afghanistan? The left keeps telling us it's for the oil, that we're coveting oil. Has anybody noticed any particular drop in oil prices or in gasoline prices as a result of these wars? No. We've had unprecedented increases. We don't get any benefit. And furthermore, as far as the United States is concerned, the United States doesn't have large oil companies now. The number 20 largest oil company in the world is Exxon. That's the only American company in the top 20. So Shell, BP, Citgo, all these foreign-owned oil companies are making a killing, possibly, from Middle East oil. But the American public isn't getting any benefit, and furthermore, American companies aren't. It's time for people to wake up and smell the coffee. The United States military has been totally co-opted by the one-worlders that the John Birch Society used to warn us about so eloquently back in the 50s and 60s. The United States military is now the police force for one-world government. We're the ones that go over there. It's our kids, particularly kids from red state America, that are over there to catch bullets so the Jews don't have to fight their own wars. Now, the only people that are really benefiting from those wars are the Jews. They wanted to remake the Middle East so that it and replace all the governments over there with governments more reconciled to the existence of the state of Israel. Of course, asking for governments like that is a recipe for disaster. The last time we had a real Philo-Semite, a person that wanted to be cozy with the Jews, was Anwar Sadat in Egypt, and you see what happened to him. Being friendly or being compliant with Jewish power and influence in the Middle East is a death sentence for the leader of any Arab or Muslim country, and that's just the fact of the matter. We have apparently chosen to align ourselves as the United States with the one nation in the Middle East that doesn't have a drop of oil on it, but the left keeps telling us we're doing this about oil. You know, somebody needs to tell them to find a new script. You know, we're not buying that particular day-old garbage that they keep trying to peddle to us, James.
Well, we're certainly not. Unfortunately, far too many people are, Keith, and these are the people that we seek to bring into the fold, and of course, we offer them our insightful commentary and unique and refreshing analysis in hopes that we'll be able to make a dent, because I'm telling you, there's too many people drinking the Kool-Aid. You mentioned Ann Coulter, and we put a blog posting about that on the website. You know, had I can't remember what fool Bush ran against last time. Who was it in his last term? I know it was Kerry. He beat Gore, and then it was Kerry. You know, had Kerry been elected in 2004 and implemented the exact same policies to a T, nothing more, nothing less, than George W. Bush had done, then Ann Coulter would be screaming bloody murder, and rightfully so. But George Bush does it, and she gets a pass, and this is something we got to put up with. This is why the political cesspool is truly the only game in town on the mainstream AM, FM radio airwaves that's there for the authentic, genuine article, paleo conservative.
Well, it was George Wallace who said back in 68 that the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats was the difference between Tweedledum and Tweedledee. He said also famously, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. People like Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh are there to make you think that these two are diametrically opposed and that the Republican Party is firmly in the camp of authentic conservatism. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. They're both one-worlders, and the Bushes in particular are an example of what's wrong with the Republican Party. They are blue state Republicans. They hail from Maine and Connecticut. If you notice, when George H.W. Bush was president, that's Daddy, back in the late 80s and the early 90s, whenever he took a vacation, he never went to Texas, which is supposedly where he was from. He always repaired to the ancestral digs of the family in Kennebunkport, Maine, a place I call Sissybunkport, Maine. You know, what a wimp. That's what he was. You know, he went to Texas after World War II for the same reason that a Chinaman went to the United States in the 19th century, to make a hat full of money and then to go back home with it. He had, you know, he and the family went down to Texas holding their nose. That's the problem with the Republican Party. If you'll notice in the presidential primaries, James, every time that we have a presidential primary season, all the early primaries are in blue state America, Iowa, Michigan, New Hampshire. And by the time Red State America gets to have a primary, usually Super Tuesday, we always hear the same litany, which is, don't waste your vote voting for somebody that you'd really like to see in the Republican presidential race. Vote for one of these front runners, or else you're throwing away your vote. That's not just an accident, James. That's the way the game is rigged.
Sam Dixon said it best when talking about George and George and Jeb Bush and however many others they are. They're jumped up white trash. And they're certainly not Southerners, and don't be fooled by the fact that they claim to be from Texas. All right, well, that's it for the first hour of Shaking the Hand of Keith Alexander the Great, and it was another great hour with him sitting in the co-hosting seat. We've got much, much more to come, however, over the course of the next 2 hours. So stay tuned, and I'll be here to shepherd you through it right after these words.
Something's got a hold on me. Yeah! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Baptist Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah! Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the Amen.